Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, tonight, if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah, we're still in Timothy chapter 2. It's been a while since I had to refresh my memory myself. Amen. 2 Timothy. If I could find it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to talk about good works. Now, we've been talking about being vessels of God, or becoming vessels of God, becoming vessels of honor. And tonight, a part of that is doing good works as vessels. Amen. Well, let's just go ahead and read first verse 20 and 21. Hallelujah. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master. And I want you to pay attention to the flow here. Notice before we get to every good work, before I get to the part where it says prepared, your Bible may say ready. Notice there's a flow before you even get to the good works. Before you even do the good works, there is something we should be doing. There is something that God, He really demands it. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to have a sanctified life set apart unto Him for what? To prepare you to do good works. It's not the other way around. And that's the whole flow, the whole thing tonight is there's a proper way to do good works, or a proper way to do the calling that God has placed on your life. It's just not about, well, I'm going to do the ministry. I got this. God told me to do this. Listen. You got to get things in the right order. The kingdom of God is not there is order in the kingdom. Amen. There is a flow to the kingdom. Everything flows from the head. Hallelujah, getting the hum. It's the anointing. There's a flow. The flow always comes from Him. We say this. We say this a lot of times. You know, the anointing's flowing through me. And, oh, it does. It does. But you get to remember the source of the anointing. The source, He is always your source. I don't care what it is. He is your source. He is the vine. That never changes. You are a branch. You don't supply yourself. He is the supplier. So when we talk about good works, I'm talking about we have to make sure we got Him first place. The Bible, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but that's what I'm going to set a foundation tonight for us to do good works. Now, again, it says, so we're sanctified, set apart for Him. For the master prepared, ready, and also, and I don't have written down, but I think I've read this before, fully equipped. Now, I kind of like that one. I'm not sure what translation it is. Fully equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And let's go ahead and lay this foundation. Chapter 2, Titus. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 11, let's just start. I really want to focus in on 14. But let's go with verse 11. Verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for it, aren't you? Amen. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, here again, I want to repeat this from what we read before in 2 Timothy, but notice the flow in 14. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purified for who? Cleansed us, purified us for him. It goes on to say, his own special people. One translation says, his own special possession. So you belong to him first. Everybody say first. You belong to him. He cleansed you. Cleansed you for himself, for his own special people, his own possession. Listen, I'm telling you, God is a very jealous God. Amen. He doesn't want to share you with anything, anybody. And that includes ministry. We're going to get into this. Don't put anything before him. Amen. He's always first. Yes. You start putting other things before him, it's called drying up. Because you're relying on self to do this, to do that. He is first. You got to keep the supply flowing. It goes on to say, the first part again, purified, cleansed for himself, his own special people. That's the first part of it. It's the most important part for doing good works. The second part, it says, after we talked about being in him or being his own people, spending time with him, now it says, zealous for good works. So I'm just trying to get a point across. I'm repeating myself. There is a flow for good works. Now, the Bible talks about good works. There's a lot we could talk about good works, right? The first thing usually comes to our mind is the works of Jesus. But tonight, we're going to talk about another type of good work. And it's the Bible calls it the first works. It's first because God designed it to be first. Here again, if you do the second before the first, there's going to be some issues with you in your life and in everything that you do for the Lord. So we're going to look at the first work. Say first works. First works. First works. What are you talking about, Pastor? First works. Well, turn with me. There's two commands in Matthew. Well, actually, we'll go to Mark. Go with me to Mark chapter 12. Jesus gives two commands. Mark 12, verse 30. It says here, they asked Jesus, which is the greatest? And I'm getting confused with, there's one, it talks about this in Matthew chapter 22 also. Verse 29, it says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love, here it is, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You got it? first. And the second is like it. It's not the same, but it is like it. It goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. The first commandment, you never want to do the second before the first. The second, and I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's intercessory prayer. I don't care what God is called, your calling. You never put the second service, what your niche, whatever you want to call it, laboring. That is never first. I guarantee you, if you put that first, it won't be long and your spiritual life will begin to dry. And the usually first sign is frustration. Why? Because the supply comes from the first. It comes from spending time with Him. It comes by loving Him. Listen, this is what's going on. He first loved you. Okay? It's like a marriage. To make a marriage work, it's not one way, is it? In this part, God has already did His part, right? He first loved us. He chose you. Now, He wants a time of fellowship with you. He wants you to love Him back. And like I said before, He is very jealous of what you put in between the two of you. And I don't care what it is. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. There is nothing that you're going to find that's more important to God. It is number one. Now, I want to show you this. Let's go to the second. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Well, how important is it? I'll tell you how important it is. You know, we're to love Him with all our hearts, right? So when you think about the heart, usually, I think one translation said passion. Passion gets involved. It's not just, you know, we're just going through the motions. When you love God with all your heart, with all your passion, all your mind, soul, and strength, there's a fortitude on the inside. You see this in ball players. I've seen it. If you follow sports a lot, you'll see some players who don't have the talent. They just don't have it. They don't have the talent like the other guys do, but they got something else called the heart. They got heart. You know what I mean? In other words, they don't quit. They give the extra effort. They'll go the extra mile just because of the passion that they have. A passion. Saints, that's what we got to have when we serve God. We got to serve with passion. Amen. For instance, hey, listen, you know, this election time, I'm telling you what, I got some passion going. Yeah. Amen. I got some zeal going. Yes. Don't quit praying for the president. Amen. It's not over till it's over. I am not going to look back 2 months from now and say, well, I wished I would have prayed more for him. I'm not looking back and saying, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to put it all in. Yes. I'm going to give it everything I got. And it, yay or nay, 2-3 months down the road, I'm going to say, you know, I gave it all I had. I gave everything I prayed. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows. Yes. He knows exactly what to pray through you, what you need to, what kind of utterance that needs to come out. He knows exactly. Now, anyway, I don't want to talk about politics, but I'm just saying, I'm just fired up. I got some passion going because we got the right man in office.
Yes,
He's the man in office. And as the church, man, we need to, you know, I don't care what the media is saying. I don't care. Listen, if, you know, there's more for us. Who said that? Elisha said there's more who are with us than those than with them. We got in the spirit, man. We got supernatural, the supernatural, the angels. They're working, man. As we intercede for the throne. The Bible says all things are possible to them who to him that believeth.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. Now I got my own opinion, but I'm not going to give you my opinion. Of course, you pretty well know just by. Well, I said there. I guess I let that out of the bag, didn't I? I just get fired up. I tell you what, I don't want to see this nation slide down.
No.
I mean, when that door, if that's a big if that other door and another guy comes in and sits in that seat, you know, I don't even want to think about it. We got the right guy, and we're going to. We need to. Put the pedal to the metal. Amen. Well, Revelation, that was all for Eve. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things, that I tell you, chapter 2, verse 1, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now you have to remember, let me say this. It tells right there, he's walking in our midst, in the church, right? And before I go on, this is for us today, okay? In verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He repeats that phrase to the seven churches seven times. So that tells me it's for us today. Let us hear with ears. Let us hear what the Spirit's saying. In verse 2, it says, I know your works. Well, he knows your works, because he's in our midst. He knows exactly what we're doing, right? Amen. He knows our works. And he repeats that seven times to each church. I know your works. Okay, let's go on. Hallelujah. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and they are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered. You have patience. Boy, this is a good church, doesn't it? Patience. You have labored in my name's sake, and have not fainted. To me, if on the surface, up to this point, I would say that church is a productive church. That church is a get up and do it church. It's prospering. I mean, look, you read all these adjectives. It's a productive church. It's a persevering church is what I'm trying to say. That's one of the hardest things to do, right? Persevering when it gets tough. But this church is doing it. But in verse 4, something's not right. Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Whoa. That's kind of an eye opener. They're doing good. They're working. Pastor Chuck, isn't that awesome? Ain't that all? Isn't that what's about work, work, doing works? Well, good works is good, but what he's talking about here is what we just read in Mark chapter 12. Listen, it says here, let me back it up. Let me kind of slow it down a little. I'm jumping ahead of myself. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You left your first love. Now let that sink in. What's the first love? See, in order to do the first love, now he's saying to do the first love, you gotta go and do the first works. What's the first love? What's the works? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the work. And for some reason, they got over into... You got to remember, this church, this is the Ephesians church. This is the church that Paul established. This is the church that John, the beloved apostle, is associated with this church. Timothy is associated with this church. But yet we see a drift. They drifted from the love of God, the agape love. And the agape love can be expressed in two ways. To God, and it can be expressed to others. To God is top priority. He's first. And some reason, saints, if it happened to this church, I'm telling you, we've got to open up our eyes. It can happen to anyone. The enemy, we're dealing with our own self, and plus the enemy is always against us, our adversary. If this church drifted, and you read in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul, I think it's in verse 15, he said, you know, Paul said, I keep you in my prayers. I give thanks to you always for you. You've been faithful and loving to the saints. I'm paraphrasing that. But at one time, they were in faith. They were walking in love, walking in faith. Now, this is about 35 years, I think. I don't know exactly, but basically a generation has passed and they drifted away from the first love. Now what's going on? Now they're just going through the motions. Have you ever gone through the motions? When I take trash out, I go through the motions. It's my duty. It's hard for me to get passionate about that. They're just going through the motions. I think if we don't watch, I mean, spiritually too, we have to keep ourselves fired up on the inside. Paul talked to Timothy about stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. There's something about getting in His presence, stirring yourself up. Since if you don't, it won't happen. Life goes on. You get up, go to work, come home. Get up. Go to work, come home. You get into a routine. I'll pray a little bit more tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. The next day comes. It slips pretty quick because we're busy. I mean, just with Joanne and myself, I mean, we can get busy doing things. And, well, I'll do that later. And it slips. It slips. They let it slip. They left. Now, does God take that serious? Big time. Why? Very jealous over you. He does not want to share. He's giving them ultimatum here. He said, repent. He tells them three things. We'll get into that a little bit later. He says, remember, repent, return. All these things, saints, living a life that's passionate for God takes work. He called it first works. Keeping God first is work, because there's always something wanting to dethrone God, dethrone Jesus as first place in your life. You will have to work. You have to spend time when the flesh doesn't want to spend time in prayer. You're going to spend time reading when your flesh doesn't want to read. You're going to have to come to church when your flesh says, "Oh man, stay home and lay down a little bit, man. Take it easy. Take your shoes off. You just watched on the podcast. No, streaming it. Live stream. There you go. We covered it all. And email's not involved in that, is it? Hallelujah. I got a lot to learn, don't I? Hallelujah. You bet. You know, listen, if it takes work, just like in a marriage, it takes work. It takes a tremendous amount of work for me. Oops. No, really. Really, after quite a few years, we work, there's times, and I notice this, I believe this is what God wants spiritually. And I've done this, and I'm not saying I'm super spiritual by no means, but there's a lot of times, just in the natural, we know what each other's thinking without saying a word. That's how close we need to be to God. To be so close to Him, I know what He's thinking. I got the mind of Christ. I spend so much time in His Word. I know what He's thinking. Without even exchanging words, that's a relationship. That's where I desire to be. More so than ever. Time, we're living in the end times. I'm seeing things that I cannot believe. I still have to pinch myself. Is this happening? Is this really? I mean, just 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it's like, man, everything's accelerating. I want to be ready. A vessel prepared, ready for the Master's return. In fellowship with Him constantly. I know. See, Saint, listen, we'll know the season. We know the time is approaching. We know the seasons, don't we? Could it be? I'm just thinking this. Now, could it be? Remember the five foolish virgins? Could it be that they left their first love? Could it? I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just wondered. Could it be that they left their first love and in turn focused in on ministry? See, they all had lamps, didn't they? Those lamps, to me, represent good works. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works, that they may glorify the Father." So to me, I'm just saying to me, those lamps that they all carried represented their ministry. There, and they all had them, didn't they? But five turned the second commandment they switched the second commandment of service, loving others, with the first one. They left. Could it be that they left the first? They left Jesus? I'm just saying. And what happened? Their supply started to dry up. When you leave Him, what's going to keep the supply going to the lamp? The good works should be an outflow from spending time with Him. There's a flow to it. It keeps the lamps burning bright because He's the source. And when the time came, the bridegroom came, the door was shut, they were left out, and then they went to the Lord and said, "Lord, let us in." Now get this. All virgins all had lamps, but Jesus said, "I don't know you." Or He said, "Never knew you," but it doesn't matter. I think He said, "I don't know you." In other words, that word "know" means I'm not acquainted with you. Why? Did they leave Him? I believe they did. And if that's true, that's half of them. That's a big percentage, isn't it? Five. Half of them left Him. What? To labor with ministry? It's not like they were in some type of gross sin, but they just neglected Him and went this direction. It's kind of like this church, isn't it? Jesus said, "If you don't repent, I'll remove your lampstand." It's a pretty serious business here. See, listen to me. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about fellowshipping, keeping a fellowship hot, keeping it your passion hot for Him. Listen, I'll say this. The number one purpose for your life is to know Him. That's number one purpose. I don't care what your calling is. Just put that off to the side for right now. Your number one purpose in life is to know Him, to put Him first in all that you do. Not second, first. Now, I'll show you an example of this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Let's go there. Acts chapter 20. Let's just look at this. Paul had two things going on. Two things going on in his life. I want to show you. Let's see. Acts. I'm sorry, Acts 20. I say 2? Did I say 20? Acts 20, 24. Get this. This is Paul. Are you there? Hallelujah. He says this. He says, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry." Let's just stop there. So there's two things going on in Paul's life. Two things. First, he's in a race, right? He's in a race. Number two, he's received a ministry. Now they go together. So I'm not trying to say they don't, but they do. They go together. They should go together. They should fit they interlock. But I'm just saying, there's two things going on. He's got a race. He's got a ministry. Okay. What is the race? Think about this. What's the race? If the ministry is over here, Paul said, I'm running a race. The race, saints, and its number one purpose in your life is to know Him. Paul said this in Philippians, I think it's chapter 3, verse 10, to know Him, to know the power of His resurrection, His sufferings, I'm paraphrasing, His sufferings, and to be conformed to His death. That's the race. We all are in the same race. May not be in the same lane, but we're in the same race. Well, Pastor Chuck, how about the ministry? Ministry's got to get... The ministry is given. It's given to you. When you do good works, that is an outflow. Good, we're talking about running. Listen. Well, our lifespan on this earth is like a cold day. Your breath on a cold day, gone. It's a race to know Him. And that word know, if you look it up, it means to learn. It's a learning process. It means to learn, to become, or to learn and to become acquainted with. That was Paul's number one purpose. He just wants to spend as much time, get as close as he can to the Father. Close. Saints, that's what it's all about. The closer you are to Him, the better off you will be. Do not keep Him at a distance, because there's going to come a day when you're going to want to draw near to Him, especially in these last days. Well, Pastor Chuck, I'm just expecting the rapture to take place. Well, I'm hoping it does. But I just, my opinion, we're going to be going through some stuff. I'm just saying. This is what I sense. And I'm not talking about little stuff. I think you better strap in, get as close as you can. That way you won't be rocked out of the boat when tribulation comes. And I'm not talking about the wrath of God. I'm not talking about the actual 7-year tribulation. I believe the church will be gone, like Pastor Mark's been, he taught just recently, right? I believe we're going to be out of here. But I also believe we're going to go through some things. Right now, the church is just flat lazy. I don't know. It needs a shot in the arm. It needs to be awakened. And usually, I'm thinking early church. They went through some stuff. But that stuff caused them to increase. You get that? I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if we go through some stuff. Now, I believe in the rapture, so don't think I'm saying, no, I am pre-rapture all the way. There's no doubt, but there's no debate. I mean, I wouldn't debate with anyone, really. I mean, I would talk, but as far as really debating, getting down, no. Well, anyway, Paul said he's in a race, and his race is to know Him. Listen, our lifespan on this earth is pretty short, really. So he's in a race. It's an endurance. Listen, the Bible says, let us run with endurance, joyful endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto the ministry. So is it the ministry? Looking into the ministry, surely. No, it's looking into Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. You're running a race, and it's to know Him. You got your eyes focused on Him. Listen, you start focusing on something else, you'd be like Peter. Our focus is on Him, and we keep our steps. We keep walking with Him. Listen, Jesus said, take My yoke upon you. What's the yoke? That yoke really speaks of relationship, fellowship, because you're yoked up with Him side by side. When He walks, you walk. When He goes left, you go left. You're yoked up with Him. Listen, when you're yoked up with Jesus, it'll keep you from going this way, that way, and it keeps you on the path with Him. Then Jesus said, learn of Me. Right? That's what Paul's saying. I want to know Him. I want to learn of Him. I want to know everything about Him. I want to be conformed to His death. I want to be conformed to His image. That's our destiny. That's our calling, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, saints. That's first. He's first. Ministry second. First, second. Vertical, horizontal. I think I said that a few times, so maybe. We'll... Turn with me. I think let's just go to 1 John. Hallelujah. 1 John. John the Beloved. You know, there's a learning process. We don't get it all in one day. 1 John chapter 4, I want to go to, let's see here. I think it's 7. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, are you there?
Yes.
Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That word know means to learn. Again, I'm just repeating myself. The word know means to learn. It means to be acquainted with. So he says, and to know God, to be acquainted with Him. Actually, in verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another. One translation said, let us practice loving one another. It's about practicing. It's learning. When you go to when I was playing ball and stuff, we would practice, right? We would learn new plays. Learn why? To win. So we have a winning team. That never worked for us, but we tried. Hallelujah. So we practice loving one another in order to know God, to learn of His ways, to know Him. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So in other words, that word know means to learn. If we're not learning and becoming acquainted with Him, then it says here that he does not love. He who does not love does not know God. You don't know God. Listen, it's a learning process. When John the Apostle, the Beloved, at one time he was hothead. Him and James, you remember that? They were called sons of thunder. John, he was hot-blooded, quick-tempered, but he learned. It wasn't overnight. He learned. Why? How did he learn? Through fellowship. It's the only way it comes. Spending time at the feet of Jesus. It's like Mary and Martha. Mary chose to spend time at the feet of Jesus, right? Martha at one time was there also. If you read in between the lines, they both were sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Martha moved. I said she moved. She left. To do what? Service. That's what I'm talking about. And I guarantee you, it's my opinion, that same scenario, they did that several times. In other words, other occasions. That wasn't, to me, when I read that, this is not the first time. Because Martha, I just see that. That's just my opinion. Because Martha just throws a fit. She's doing it again. A little brat. She did again. I'm going to tell Jesus this time. That's just how I see it. But she left Him for service. Jesus said, Mary picked the best part or the good portion. What? Spending time with Him. Learning His ways. Amen. Since that's the first works. He's our first work. He's our first love. Let's wrap this up. Back to Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2. It says, so you might say, well, Pastor Chuck, what do I need to do then to get back in that first, get back? Well, to get back in His love, to get back, you just have to get back in fellowship. back in Philadelphia. I remember the time back in Huntingburg on the hill. Remember that pastor, Jerry? Pastor Mark preached a message on, I think it was out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 or 10. He talked about our first call is, I can't remember how it goes, but it's our first call is fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's having fellowship. That's our first call. It proceeds over everything else. That's what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, when he preached that, it changed everything in my life because I was going after another direction. I was going after the call, ministry, the call, the ministry, works. When he said that, when he said, no, your first call is Him. Your first call is the fellowship with Him. That changed everything for me. I'm thinking, that makes sense. He should be first. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. He's first in your life. He's your first love. You don't ever want to leave your first love. Because He's your protector. He's your supplier. He's everything to you. He's your all in all. So you leave Him, you kind of leave yourself open. He doesn't want that. He wants the best for you. So, saints, we've got to stay as close as we can. Hallelujah. Now, it says here in verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent. That word repent is something good. There's nothing wrong with that word. It's a good word. Good word. Listen, if I'm not doing something right now, if I'm not doing something right or pleasing in His sight, I want to get it straightened out now. I don't want to go, listen, we will all have to stand at the judgment, or not stand, but we all have to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to make sure things are in order. I don't want to get to heaven and... Now listen, doesn't it make sense? We're talking about good works. And and I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paraphrasing. To do what? To give account of the deeds done in the body, right? Okay. I don't want to get to heaven. And He asks me, well, let me back it up. I believe one of the first things he will ask, because we'll have to give it account, right? Based on what I just read to you, what we're talking about the first works, your works will follow you. You know, a lot of times we say, you can't take anything to heaven. Oh, yeah, you take works. Everything you've done in the body, you take with you. Your works will go with you. They will follow you. Okay. Doesn't it make sense for Jesus to ask you, did you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, strength? Doesn't that make sense for Him to ask you that? I believe that's one of the first things He will ask. Did you love me? Did you learn to love me? Like Paul, he had a heart's desire. I want to learn to love Him. I want to learn His ways. I want to know Him. I believe the Lord will ask that. And I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I loved you. I loved you. I loved you. He already knows, but He's going to ask it. I just believe that's me. That's my opinion. I did hear, but I heard, This guy had a vision, and I'll end it with this. This guy had a vision. He died. He went to heaven. And he was with his angel, and he is about the third person in line. There again, some of these stories you kind of had to watch. You know, some of them are kind of flaky. But this registered to me that this is true. And it goes along with what I'm saying. The first person the Lord asked, this lady, it was a lady, he asked this lady, said, do you love, did he actually said this, did you learn to love me? She goes, yes, Lord, I did. He asked another question, exactly what we talked about here. Did you learn to love other people? That's the second commandment, love your neighbor. She said, yes, Lord, I did. And then Jesus grabbed her, or put his arms around her and pulled her into himself like a big door. And she went in. The next lady came up and he asked her the same thing. Did you love me? And she said, yes, Lord, I loved you. Did you love your neighbor? And this is where it gets sticky, because she lived a life of bitterness, resentment, whatever reason, didn't go in detail, but circumstances. In other words, it caused a lot of bitterness in her life. And she, you know, he knows all. He already knows, right? And her expression, she said, no, Lord, I did not. She couldn't say yes. But the Lord told her, he said, but you loved me. And he pulled her in. But he said something to her. He said, but you have no reward. I think I'm paraphrasing this. But he talked about no reward or very little reward. Why? Because she never did works. She loved him, but the outflow, she didn't go with that outflow into the ministry or whatever she was called to do. It was barren because of the resentment. And he said, in essence, come on in. You loved me, but your reward is not what it should be. I don't want to be in that position. I want to love him with everything I have. And out of that flow, out of that time of spending with him, being filled up as a vessel, filled up with his word, his presence, the Holy Spirit, then go out as an outflow to do the good works. Then when Jesus asked me, my conscience would be clear, it'd be free, it'd be, yes, Lord, I loved you. Yes, Lord, I loved my neighbor. Yes, Lord, I was obedient. I did these. Your works will follow you. So saints, we have time to get all these things straightened out now, don't we? I don't want to wait till I'm at the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account when I could have got things straightened up here.
That's right.
Amen. It says, again, let me close. This is the close. It says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. You remember when you first got saved? I remember. I had some zeal. Amen. We all did. Everything looked bright. Everything looked, it's great, right? Okay, it should be great all the time. You shouldn't have to, I wish I'd just get that back. You can. Just repent. Repent means just repent, go the other direction and get in his presence. Spend time with him. Amen. Spend some time at the feet of Jesus. He says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent. Do the first works. Amen. And get back on track. It's an easy thing to correct. You don't have to wait. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait. Listen, how many people are going to miss the rapture? How many people? They're going to miss the rapture because they left their first love. They're not acquainted with Him like they used to be. And then when the door shut, Jesus said, you left me. I'm not acquainted with you. I don't want those words saying. I don't even want to think about it. I'm telling you, saints, listen. Listen. The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. I cannot imagine spending time without spending time with Him. I can't imagine it. Whenever I pray, and I'm second, third closing. When I pray, you know, we all pray, we all talk about Psalms 91. It's a good prayer. It's a good psalm to pray over ourselves, over our family. But I also like to pray other psalms. A lot of times, and I'm not saying every time, but a lot of times, before I even get into prayer, or as far as asking, and a lot of times, I'm at the point, I don't really ask a lot. I just don't. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, okay. When I enter into the throne room, when I enter into my closet, I open my Bible to Psalms 103, and I start reading Psalms 103, the first five verses. Then I'll go just to put myself in remembrance of all that He's done for me. And I start thanking Him. In my Bible, it's just one page over to the left, Psalms 100. And then I continue to thank Him. I enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. I have a joyfulness because I'm in His presence. I serve Him with gladness. I just like to spend time thanking Him. I like to do that all the time. Why? Because that's where my strength is from. There's a strength. When you spend time in His presence, there's something. You can't get that anywhere else. There's a strength. There's an anointing that you carry out with you. It makes it so much easier to do the good works, the works that He's predestined for you to do. There's a book. The books will be open, saints. The books will be open. Psalms 139 talks about books. All the plans that God has for you. This already been planned out. Do you know that? Your life's been planned out. And He's going to open those books. And then He's going to open up the books that you actually did. And He's going to compare the books. That's a whole nother story, but and the main work is loving Him, loving your neighbor. That's your first work. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.